This week we're continuing studying Psalm 18. This is the second week in Psalm 18, but also part of the study that we're doing on the Psalms that focus on God's righteousness as well. So this week we'll be focusing in on verses 7 through 15. And so if you'll remember from last week, verses 1 through 6 were all about the trials that David was facing because of his enemies and how he was crying out to God for help. But David had confidence in God. He had confidence that he would be delivered. And we know this from what he states in verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is most certainly David's stronghold, as well as he is ours. He is our rock, he is our fortress, and he is our deliverer. God's righteousness, it cannot be interrupted. And he displays that here in these next following verses, these next 9 verses that we'll be looking at. As we do look at them, I'm going to encourage you to look at these examples of God's perfect righteousness and his fulfilling of his promises of protecting his people, his righteousness and his rule, and his wrath, his judgment, and also his protection of the afflicted. You'll please follow along with me, verses 7 through 15, Psalm 18. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath of your nostrils. So what a scene we have here. This is amazing. God's power, God's wrath being unleashed upon his enemies. So back to verse 7, as it reads in our Psalter. Then the earth shook and trembled too. Foundations of the hills were moved, and all was shaken to its core, because he in his anger came. So we have seen in the Bible that the shaking of the earth has been a symbol of God's presence. We have seen it throughout the Psalms. We have seen it in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and that reads, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Also, Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So we can see that the presence of God can cause the foundations of hills and even mountains to be moved. This may be clues to us that even the nations and the kingdoms are subject to the wrath and power of God when they reject his laws and ordinances. And I suggest that they are, in fact, subject to his wrath. And so, even if the mountains can be moved, so will the ordinances of men. Verse 8, his nostrils smoked, his mouth blew fire, coals kindled in consuming flame. what a picture this is. Even throughout this whole little section of this psalm. God's face, his fierce wrath, this smoke coming from his nostrils. A lot of the times we see this kind of thing in film or even animation. We see this fire or smoke coming from the nostrils. A lot of the times in a bull. I don't know why bulls are always so angry, but they are. Maybe it's because people tempt them and prod them, and maybe they're deserving of such wrath from the bull. But this is not just a animal. This is God. This is the creator of everything. And his breath is heated by his furious anger towards those who attempt to hurt his children. This whole group of verses is to help us understand the expedience and the voraciousness of God's wrath against those who attack his people. And God, well, some people would like you to believe that God may descend like on a butterfly with the inefficient weapons of timeouts and wooden swords. But that is not the God of the Bible. When God comes to the aid of his people, he descends upon the world with weapons that are on point, that are accurate, and that do their job. When he descends upon the world, he lets the world know that he is here, and he is very angry. His punishment is not one that is quickly forgotten, as his fire is not a temporary one, but instead it is one that is steady and lasting. When God makes his entrance is felt, and even the heavens bend under his sheer force. Verse 9, he bent the heavens when he came. Thick darkness went under his feet. So the Targum states this as, he bowed the heavens and his glory appeared. Now I would suggest that this is to be understood as the glory of his power and of his mighty hand of vengeance. He has come to execute his wrath and vengeance on wicked men, and he comes quickly to do so. And as God does this, as he comes to our aid on his mission, he disrupts the usual order of his creation, and he causes a dark cloud to begin forming under his feet, for when he arrives, it will be dispersed to impede the sight of his enemies. That will come a little later. First, we have verse 10. He swiftly on a cherub flew. His flight was on the wings of wind. So the cherub or the cherubim are frequently represented as the chariot of God. Although there is much discussion of the subject of the cherubim and to all of their responsibilities, this verse can show us that they indeed have a role in God's work as his holy chariot, and their wings are a token of swiftness and expediency, as quickly and as accurate as the wind. Verse 11. He made the darkness his abode, round him dark waters and thick clouds. So, having formed the dark cloud and the waters below his feet, God now uses it as a pavilion that is now like an impervious shade where none of his enemies' eyes may see him. Now we know that darkness does nothing to impede the sight of God, our all-knowing, our just and wise God. As it says in Job chapter 36, verse 29, indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Man cannot understand what is hidden from them by God's providence. Like the Jews who rejected and crucified Christ, and the light of the gospel was taken away from them, they had a darkness envelop them. They were given eyes that could not see, and they were given over to a darkness of the mind and a hardness of the heart. Romans chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. So in this verse, although God has wrapped himself in darkness, he commands light to shine out of that darkness for his people, to show his presence, and also his justice, and how his justice will be felt by his enemies. His wrath will be coming forth out of this darkness. Verses 12 and 13. Then through the clouds his light shined forth, with hailstones and with coals of fire. The Lord thundered down from heaven. The Most High spoke with hail and fire. So just as sudden as God arrives and envelops his enemies with darkness, we have this artillery of heaven that is discharged upon those enemies. The massive amount of hail and fire raining down should be enough to strike fear to any man. But God lets his enemies know that it is him who brings his wrath by proclaiming his presence. Hailstones and fire are mentioned twice here, and they are mentioned twice to show that they are the weapons of God's vengeance and a display of his utmost power and ability to destroy whatever he pleases. Verse 14. Yes, he sent out his arrows then and scattered them throughout the land. He made the lightning strike and flash so as to cause great discomfort. So arrows are used here because they have a much more direct route and a set target than raining hail and fire from the sky. And so it is God's intent to finish what he started by using more accurate tactics. Now these arrows, some say, may be compared to the doctrines of the gospel. Those doctrines which are useful weapons when attacking the minds of the enemies of Christ. A bow and an arrow is excellent at subduing an enemy or destroying them, for if they do not kill, they give great pain and uneasiness. But if they do kill, it is because they have struck the heart, and death will be almost instantaneous. So this attack of arrows that the enemies are faced with, it scatters them. It scatters God's enemies throughout the world where they have been dispersed to ever since. And they are tormented there in their hideouts with the flashes and strikes of lightning so that they should never gain much comfort in their lives as they now experience it. Finally, we have verse 15. Then channels of water were seen, and the foundation of the world when your rebuke went forth, O Lord, at the blast of your nostrils' breath. Just as the plots and schemes of God's enemies were uncovered and exposed, the bed of the sea now lays bare. It lays bare from the tremendous assault that God had just carried out upon his enemies. This assault, it was so devastating that the layout of the land was changed as to where it was no longer the same. Just imagine that. The sheer, immense power of God. This is just as the Jewish nation experienced, both in their civil and ecclesiastical state. They were uprooted and made bare. As Charles Spurgeon stated, "Vain are the attempts of men to conceal anything from him whose word unbars the deep and lifts the doors of earth from their hinges. Vain are all hopes of resistance, for a whisper of his voice makes the whole earth quail in abject terror." So in reading these verses, may we be assured of the real power of he who is our Father and our friend. It is he who tends to us and to our safety as he fights our battles alongside us, with us, and for us. The prince of the power of the air soon will lose his grasp when the cherubim chariot is driven throughout his dominions. So may this be a reminder to us that he who is with us is greater than all who are against us.